Open your Bibles to Isaiah 52. We're going to pick up at verse 13. It's page 613 in the Blue Bibles. Isaiah 52, beginning at verse 13. Behold, my servant will act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted, as many were astonished at him. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Traditionally, in Christian circles for 2,000 years, this passage, Isaiah 52:13 through 53:12, has been seen and heard as a foreseeing and a forecasting of the Messiah, Jesus, and of that first Good Friday. The language used here in Isaiah 52:13 through 53:12, the language used here is sacrificial language, echoing that first Passover in Egypt, where the Passover lamb was offered in place of the firstborn children on that fateful night in Egypt, when the blood of the lamb was smeared on the doorposts of the house, and all of those who had gone under the blood and were inside that house were passed over as God brought righteous judgment upon those who were not under the blood. And the language here in Isaiah 52:13-53:12 is all sacrificial in that it is echoing Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when a goat is slaughtered and a second goat is sent off into the wilderness and off into the wild to carry away the people's iniquities. As Leviticus puts it, "For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins." And so this passage refers to the body broken, the body of God in the flesh that becomes broken down by the torture and the trauma. Despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Despised, borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The body broken is the body of God become man, on whom evil and injustice, violence and viciousness have broken out upon, smitten, afflicted, pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was oppressed and afflicted like a lamb led to the slaughter. He was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of His people, poured out His soul unto death. The body broken is the body of God in flesh, who willingly stepped in on our behalf. Verse 7, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so He opened not His mouth. Why did He not open His mouth? Because He accepted this as His mission. He was willing to do this for us. And His offering was accepted by the Almighty in place of His people. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With His wounds, we are healed. All we, like sheep gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush Him. He has put Him to grief. And so Isaiah 52:13 through 53:12 is a foretelling and a forecasting of that first Good Friday, where God in the flesh willingly has His body broken down for us. So you may be asking, well, how can this one whose body is broken at the cross be of any real substantial value to us? I just want to go two ways. One this way, and then I'm going to go that way. My friends, if nothing else, then for those who have been victimized and violated, for those who have been abused and abandoned, for those who have been battered and betrayed, the broken body of God in the flesh reminds us that God has been there and He knows what it's like from the inside out. He knows, therefore, your doubt. He knows, therefore, your sense of disgrace. He knows, therefore, your feeling of degradation from the inside out. If nothing else, then it means that your grief, it means that your lamentation, it means that your tears, it means that your serious questions of God, like maybe, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Your grief, your lamentation, your tears, your serious questions are legit before God. But it also shows us that God can take that which looks utterly hopeless and turn it into something new and fresh and free. No longer does the victimization and violation and abuse and abandonment and batteredness and betrayal have to identify you. When His soul makes an offering for guilt, He shall see His offspring. He shall prolong His days. the will of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous." God can take what looks utterly hopeless and turn it into something new and fresh and free. But on the other side, in a different direction, the substantial value of this one whose body is broken at the cross is seen clearly as sacrifice. My friends, just recently, we got a whiff of this one more time. Now, what I'm about to use as an illustration, I'm not just using as a throwaway illustration. This is very touching to me personally, but it is something that's happened recently. On March the 23rd, at 10:30 a.m. in the south of France, a man who had been swept up in what he perceived as the righteousness of his cause hijacked a car in one town and sped off to another town, leaving death on the streets behind him, two dead bodies specifically. And then he entered into a supermarket, and he took several people hostage, to include an employee whose name was Julie, whom he used as a human shield. The negotiations went on for about 4 hours and then stalled. And as the negotiations stalled and it looked like there was nowhere else to go, a 44-year-old gendarme, a policeman, Lieutenant Colonel Arnaud Beltram, offered himself as an unarmed hostage swap in place of the shell-shocked and shaken Julie, going into that hostile situation knowing that he may well not come out alive. He put himself in the place of Julie. He faced evil and injustice on behalf of Julie in her place. And thus, as he walked in, was stabbed in the throat and shot multiple times by the assailant in the place of Julie. And then he died. He died in the place of Julie. My friends, we rightly honor a man like that and all others who are willing to give that kind of sacrifice on behalf of others. We honor them as heroes. As the French President Emmanuel Macron, I'm just probably butchered his name, as he put it, "To accept to die so the innocent can live, that is what is in the heart of a soldier's commitment. And Colonel Beltram's willingness to give his life was greatness that so transfixed the whole of France." What a wonderful, heartrending, recent illustration. And so, my friends, this one who is spoken about in Isaiah 52:13 through 53:12, whose body was broken, was broken in the place of his people who were not innocent. In fleshy and physical ways, God in person absorbed the cruelty that rages and rampages in and all over creation for his people who are not innocent. God embodied received the blunt force trauma of those who disdain embodied people and treat humankind like machines and commodities to be traded and trashed at whim. He did that for His people who are not innocent. God become fully human, underwent the catastrophic blow which strips away wellness and well-being in any measurable sense, being hit full in the face, as it were, with the fragility and frailty of flesh and bones and blood as the cursedness of our sin and our sinfulness broke over Him and wreaked havoc. And He did it for His people who are not innocent. But unlike the valuable and virtuous actions of Lieutenant Colonel Arnaud Beltram, Jesus' broken body was pierced for our transgressions, was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. And so then, because of His broken body, we, His people, can now rejoice and say with the Apostle Paul at the end of 2 Corinthians 5, "For our sake God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Truly, this is Good Friday. Let's pray. We thank You, O Lord our God, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and bore our transgressions, bore our iniquities, carried our sins, and that in His death and dying comes a chastisement that brings us peace. And in His woundedness comes our healing. Lord, so often we take that sacrifice and cheapen it, thinking very little of it. But this is what our sins brought to pass. Lord Jesus, thank You that You faced all of this, and like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, You did not open Your mouth. You did this willingly for us. Truly, Lord Jesus, there are no words that we can say or sing that utters the depth of the appreciation we owe You. But hear us as we fumble with some words, as we try and know that we are awed by You. Amen.